You may be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Tonight, we're continuing our series on the theme, I Choose. And my subject tonight is, I choose to live a life of dominion. It's a choice you make. And these studies that I've been doing, they're all centered around dominion, walking in dominion. I've given you a handout, and I want you to take that. I'm not going to preach that tonight. That's just something for you to study. But I'll give you a part of it as I'm teaching and preaching tonight. But I want you to take and study it yourself. Your faith will never grow, never beyond the word that you absorb in your spirit, man. If you want to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, you'll have to become a person of the word. Amen. But the choices you make in life, they will determine the course of your life. How many already know that? But not only will those choices affect your life, they will affect your entire family and those that are connected to you. When you decide to walk in dominion, then others around you, guess what? They'll start walking in dominion. They'll start riding your coattail, if you heard me say so many times. But we've been using Deuteronomy 30:19 as our base text. And God said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. Look at that. Blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. This, I love this right here, that both thou and thy seed may live. That God is a generational God. And what you do does affect everyone in your family. I made a choice one day, many years ago, to serve God with my whole being, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, and that has been my quest for the last 36 years. I made a choice to walk with God, and I made a choice that I will walk in dominion. I will be everything that God called me to be. I'm not going back. I'm in the press. I'm pressing forward. How many have that made up mind tonight? See, if you're going to live a life of dominion, you must understand there are steps in life that lead to victory. There are steps that you must take to grow in so you can climb those steps and become the person God wants you to be. 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion. Put that up, 2 Peter 3:18. Look at that. That's not in my outline tonight. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So the glory that God has and the dominion that Jesus has, he has given it to you. But you've got to grow in it. You don't just get saved and stop there. If you do, you'll always be a weak Christian. You'll go to heaven, but you'll never rule and reign and master all of life here on earth. My subject tonight, I choose to live a life of dominion. Let us pray. Father, thank you for victory. Thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us, you're leading us, you're guiding us into all truth, that we're learning to hear the voice of the Spirit, and we bless you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Brother Thomas, run on up here real quick. Amen. I'm going to put him on this blue mic here, if somebody give me blue. He called me the other day, and he told me this voice he heard, and he and I, we dialogue back and forth on texting. Finally, I just called him, and we had a conversation. But tell him real quickly what the Lord said to you.
I was telling Pastor that that a lot of times the Lord talks to us and we don't even recognize it.
Blue. Chesty.
Speak up. But the Lord speaks to us. To me, it is my voice. and a lot of times he's leading us and guiding us, telling us what to do, and we're confusing it really with our own thoughts. But it's our born-again spirit speaking to us. He's there with us, leading, guiding, directing. I use a reference that when you're walking out the house, you got your mind made up. You thought about what you're going to do. And you got plans. And as you're walking out, you hear a voice, check the mailbox. You think that's you. No, that was the Holy Spirit telling you there's some reason for you to do that. Yeah. But we're so busy, we don't catch that that was the Holy Ghost. He's with you every step of the way. And what's really groovy is when you realize that he was setting you up months ago, years ago, for what just happened. Then he lets you know that I got it all from Alpha Omega.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tom. Give him a big hand. I told him, I said, you don't know how much that excites me, because you're learning to hear the voice of the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit speaks to our recreated spirit, our human spirit. And if you ever learn that, that he will lead you. Jesus said, when he has come, he will lead you and he will guide you into all truth. That is when you begin to live and walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, then you're walking in power. You're walking in dominion. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow up and recognize his voice. So tonight I'm just going to talk about some steps that lead to dominion. Number one, you must recognize your source of dominion. You must recognize your source of dominion. When God created man, he gave him dominion. Of all the creation, you know the story. And then the devil comes along and he stole that dominion. But when Jesus Christ came, he restored dominion. So you have dominion. It's been restored to you. Jesus restored that to those that are born again. And Jesus gave us the authority to use his name. And so we have the keys of the kingdom. I'm not preaching anything new tonight. I'm not trying to preach a good sermon. I'm just trying to get something down into your spirit. And we must understand the exceeding greatness of God's power to us that believe. We must have revelational knowledge. Brother Thomas got a revelation. That's the Spirit of God talking to me. So you've got to have revelational knowledge of God's power and God's anointing that is flowing through you. And it's flowing through you. Every one of us has an anointing. You may not have grown to that place. You may not have recognized that yet, but you have it. Look what Paul said in Ephesians 1 and 19. I want you to take your hand out there, because I've got verse 19, verse 21. And that's some words there, power. I'm not going to teach on that. Paul said, I want you to know the exceeding greatness of his power to us. What? That word, that power, is dunamis. That is God's miraculous power. You were born again, the greatest miracle that could ever happen, through the miraculous power, the exceeding greatness of God's power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. That second word, power, that is kratos. That is ruling power. That is dominion. And in the English, we only have one word for power. But in the Greek, there are three words there. And it's important that you understand that. Now look at verse 20. This power which was wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Look at this. Far above all principality and power. Now that word power there is dominion. Is exousia, authority. Above all the authority of the devil. You have authority. And you must understand it. He gave Jesus that authority. He has a name above every name, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. You're the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus Christ has dominion and authority. He is the head of the church, and he has given his authority to the church. I just want to rehash some things tonight. You must recognize the source of your authority, the source of your power. You must understand that your power, your authority, comes directly from heaven. And once you get a revelation of that, it will change you to where you walk in a new boldness. You walk in a new understanding. And you can either be sense-driven by your five senses, what you see, what you feel, what you taste, what you hear, and what you smell. Yeah. And you can be sense-driven, or you can be revelational-driven. You can be driven by revelational knowledge, and the choice is yours. But the only way you will ever walk in dominion is to be revelational-driven. And most of the church, they are sense-driven. And I don't understand that, because I've had this quest to understand God and what he's done and what belongs to me as a child of God. And I could preach you all kind of good sermons. I got about 1,400 of them somewhere. But I'm not trying to preach a good sermon. I'm trying to get knowledge, revelational knowledge, into the body of Christ so you can rule and reign and master all of life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you must recognize your source of power, of authority, comes directly from heaven. And the only way to tap into this source of power is to get right with Jesus and stay right with Jesus. Let him become Lord of your life, and this exceeding greatness, power, and dominion, it will become yours. It's already yours, but if you don't walk in the light as he is in the light, you will never walk in what I'm talking about, this dominion. And unfortunately, the whole church world, it seems, is sense-driven. And you're going to have to become word-driven if you're going to walk where I'm talking about walking. So we're in a battle, and the source of our strength is not the human mind. Oh, we got people. Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words for man's wisdom. I came in power. I came in demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. And if I ever do anything for the Lord, I want to raise up a church that walks in power and authority and knows who they are, because there's a world out there. You know, we send them to the doctors. Thank God for good doctors. But Jesus is the answer. He can do anything, anytime, if he can find the people that he can move through. Our source of strength is not human ability, is not human strength. Our source is God, and you must know that. Hallelujah. So first of all, you've got to recognize the source of your authority. Secondly, oh yeah, you take that home and read it. Study it. It's all put together for you. Even the references to Strong's Concordance, they're there. You can go look them up. You can look at that. Memorize Ephesians 1:21 and following that. Memorize that. Get it in your spirit. Get it into the hidden man of the heart, so you know it like you know your ABCs. Amen. You know, anybody that can read, but you don't need to be able to read it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And if you're ever going to walk in dominion, you're going to have to be a word person. Amen. Number two, learn the effective use of the weapons of dominion. Just as the conflict is real, it's a spiritual conflict. It's not natural. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not natural. It's a spiritual battle, so we got to have spiritual weapons. Now, in order to be victorious in the battle, you must know how to use your weapons. I'm not going to list all of them. I'm going to give you some. 2 Corinthians 10:13, look, 10 and 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It says, for the weapons of our warfare, they are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and high thoughts, and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So your mind, if you are going to be sense-driven, your mind will tell you you cannot do it. Your mind will tell you that you're not up to it. Your mind will tell you that you're a failure, that you don't have the faith. That's the devil. Renew your mind with the word of God. And once you do that, you'll understand I can do all things through Christ. It's not me anyway. It's Christ working in me. It's not my faith. It's his faith. He gave me his faith, and I'm going to turn it loose, and I'm going to use it. And if you want to walk in dominion, you're going to have to learn these things. So you must learn the effective use of your weapons. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And every victorious Christian must learn the effective use of the Bible. You've got to know this is the word. This is part of your weaponry. When I was in the military, they taught me how to use my M16. Well, actually, they trained me with an M14. And I trained people as they came to Vietnam with the M16. They taught me things. Sight alignment, sight picture, squeeze, breath control. I can rattle that stuff off like my ABCs even. What is spot well? Spot well, sir. The exact and uniform position of the cheek of the shooter on the butt of the rifle, sometimes using the thumb as a reference point. So I know that stuff, and that's the way you need to know your Bible. Sight alignment, when the tip of the front sight blade is centered from left to right in the rear sight aperture. Most people don't know what an aperture is. You go to the Marine Corps, they'll teach you, I guarantee you. Hallelujah. But we got some mighty weapons. And so people of dominion, they have the word of God hidden in their heart. And when they face the devil, they just speak forth the word. They don't have to go look up a scripture. They remind the devil, it is written, it is written, it is written. This is who I am. This is what God says I am. Now, you don't start off being able to do that. You've got to memorize some scripture. You've got to hear some preaching. You've got to meditate on the word. But you renew your mind with the word of God till it becomes such a part of you that you don't think it. I just got to go to the mailbox because I heard a voice say, go to the mailbox. And you'll hear the same voice say, pray for that person right there. And I'll heal them if you'll pray for them. I want you to go across town and I want you to pray for that person. And when you go, take that bottle of anointing oil. Take my word. And when God gives you instructions like that, you just go. And guess what? The gifts of the Spirit operate. I've operated like that ever since I got saved. Amen. I just hear a voice and I just obey the voice. Amen. See, people of dominion, they have the word. Now, it is not the food, the natural food that you eat that gives you nutrition. It is the food that you digest. Let me say that again. It is not the food you eat that gives you nutrition. It is the food that you digest. And the same thing is true with the Word of God. You must hear the Word of God. The Word of God is food for the spirit man. But it's not the Word that you hear that brings faith. It's the Word of God that you digest that brings faith. You've got to get it hidden deep in the resources of your heart. So we're talking about revelation and dominion. And if you're going to walk in dominion, you must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. People who feed on the Word of God every day, they grow strong spiritually. I don't know how. You know, Teresa told me today, she says, you don't read your Bible like other people. I like to read big blocks of it. And I'll just spend time and I just read and read and read and read. And I meditate and I meditate. And she told me today, she said, I've never seen this in the Bible. That they tried to kill Lazarus just like they tried to kill. You know why they? I'm probably going to put a sermon together on it. They wanted to stop his testimony. Jesus had raised him from the dead. I said, I just read that. And we went, and I was upstairs, she was downstairs, and we got together, and we just had a Bible study on that one thing and read it to one another, read different translations. That's how you get the word in you. You don't just hear it, you read it, and you digest it, and you study it. That's why I gave you that handout. I'm going to see how hungry. I'll never know. You and the Lord will know. I just gave it to you so you can go and study it. But the people that know their God, the Bible says, they are strong and they do exploits. They are people of dominion. They are people that the world needs. The world needs some people walking in dominion. People of dominion are people of prayer. So you got to be a person of the word. You got to be a person of prayer. If you don't know how to pray, you can never walk in dominion. You are in a battle. Prayer is the only power in the world that can overcome the so-called natural laws. God set those laws in order. They are natural laws. They work, and they work every time until somebody prays and touches God to where God, who is a supernatural God, who has given you dominion, overrides and overrules natural laws. And he can do that anytime he wants to. And guess what? He does it through people. And God has promised to answer the persistent, fervent prayer of a righteous man. It is in prayer that decisions are made. It is in prayer that God directs us. It is in prayer and through prayer that God does great things in our lives. But prayer is not, oh God, oh God, oh God. Prayer is just walking with God. It's that my thoughts are centered on God. That everything that I do, I got a text this morning said, have you prayed this morning? I got it about 8 o'clock. I said, I've been praying. You know, I pray all the time. I do. My mind is centered on God. If I wake up, I'm praying. If I go to sleep, I'm praying. Most of the time, I just quote Psalms 91. Till I can't even get halfway through it, and I'm gone. I just go right on off to sleep. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I said, that's where I live. Hallelujah. I'm in the secret place, and pretty soon I'm going off to sleep. Try it. It works if you have a problem sleeping. But so people of dominion, they are people of the Word of God. They are people of prayer. And then they are people of faith. Hallelujah. Faith sees the invisible. Faith hears the inaudible. Faith feels the intangible, and faith does the impossible. Hallelujah. That's what faith will do. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. Not some things, but all things. So you have faith. Jesus gave it to you. Comes from hearing the word of God. And faith is a weapon, so use it. People of faith, they walk with God. They don't seek faith. They live faith. Let me say that again. People of faith walk with God. They're not seeking faith. They have faith, and they just live faith. Their whole life is a life of faith. Or you can be driven by your senses, five senses, and I guarantee you, most people live there. But if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to not walk by sight. You are going to walk by what the Word says, and you'll have to do that. And you got this battle going on. The devil's telling you all the time, you can't do it, but you can. You can be a person of faith. You are a person of faith. You just haven't grown to the place you know it if you haven't gotten there yet. So how do you get this faith? It's real simple. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Teresa and I, we always, she said, I've heard that sermon before. I said, well, you read your Bible every year all the way through. I said, we talk about the Bible all the time in our home. If we're on a trip, she gets so tired of my sermon sometime. And me just, she said, will you please stop? I'm just feeding my faith, and I'm feeding hers. Hallelujah. I told her, I said, you don't know how fortunate you are to live around somebody like me, that I'm just always pumping you full of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know, she just hears all of my sermons before I ever preach them. Yeah, and that's in the Bible. It says study to be quiet. And sometimes I have to study to be quiet. Amen. That's one of my verses right there. Sometimes she will ask me, she said, why aren't you talking? Why aren't you saying anything? I said, because I'm studying to be quiet. Hallelujah. But see, it's just a life of faith. It's just a life of joy. It's just a life of peace. It's just a life of love because you're walking in the Word. And if you got a wife like that, you know, you got a great treasure. If you got a husband like that, you got a great treasure from God. And I'm blessed and highly favored of God. Hallelujah. You need to hear the Word of God, and you need to hear it, and you need to hear it until you digest the Word and it becomes a part of you. Put John 15:7 up. I don't think it's in those notes there. John 15:7. It's not enough just to read your Bible. Look at this. Where do I dwell? I told you I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Psalm 91. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. It shall be done unto you. That's dominion. That is dominion. And you know, this is just faith stuff. It's not rocket science. There's nothing hard about it. It's just a decision you make. And every one of us, we're on an individual, personal journey. And every one of us, we are each responsible for our own growth. And as a pastor and Pastor Ricky, we're responsible to help you grow. But we got to grow before we can help grow other people. You can't teach and preach anything you don't know. Unless the Holy Ghost gives it to you on the spot. Now, he can do that. Thank God. I go back and listen to my own sermons. I say, whoo, that was good. I didn't even think of that. That come on my feet. And that's the thrill of preaching to me, is that he speaks. And I know. And I used to go, when I preached a lot of revival, and people say, God healed me while you were speaking. I said, what did I say? One of those things I thought was crazy, you know. It didn't have anything to do with my sermon. But it was the Holy Ghost just dealing with people, and that's the way he talks. You just got to recognize him. Number three, recognize your relationship to the body of Christ. You have got to recognize, I ought to put the word in, the importance of your relationship with the body of Christ. See, the body of Christ, the church, is in divine relationship with God. No one except the church is in divine relationship. No one. Jesus is the head of the church, and as a born-again believer, we are his body. I got an email today inviting me to come and be a part of something. And Dr. Boo-Goo-Goo-Boo-Boo-Zoo-Boo, somebody like that, he's going to come and speak. And I'm not against all of it. But then when I saw world religions and other religions and the Muslims and others, and I don't want to go hear that foolishness. Why would I waste my time? Now, if the Holy Ghost said, go over there and straighten them out, and I'm going to give you a platform to do it, I'd do it. I don't want to go hear about Mohammed. You know, he's dead. He's in the grave. He can't save anybody. I challenge him, bring the sick, praise God, and talk to your God, and I'll talk to the sick in the name of my God. And I'll speak in the name of Jesus, and let's see who does has a manifestation of God's glory. I'm not afraid to stand up and put it on the line. It's not my name anyway. It's the name of Jesus. You shouldn't be afraid to ever pray for people. Say, praise God, I'm a child of God, and I've got the name of Jesus. I've got the authority to use it, and I'm going to do what God said to do. See, Jesus is the head of the church. So stay close to the church. Get involved in fellowship. Get involved in worship. Do something in the church. Don't be a lone ranger. Don't get out there by yourself. That is strength in unity. The first banana that leaves the bunch is the first banana that what? Gets eaten. Stay with the bunch. Amen. Stay close to the bunch. I've seen a lot of people fail. And you know, most of the people that I have seen fail in their Christian walk, they quit fellowshipping. They stop coming to church on a regular basis. They drop a service here. They drop a service there. And they never obtain their full potential in Christ. They could be a whole lot more than they are. They could walk in greater dominion. They could help others. But if you don't recognize, you know, that your strength is with the body, then you can never walk where God has purposed for you to walk. You got to be there if you're going to do something. You got to be at the place. You know, someone told me recently, you know, we committed somewhere else. And I thought in my spirit, why aren't you committed to your church? If you got your membership here, get committed. Praise God. Get committed somewhere. Amen. That's the problem in our world today. People don't want commitment. They don't want to be committed. That's why over half the marriages fail. Lack of commitment. If people will commit themselves, praise God, they'll be there. They'll do what they need to do. Look at Colossians 1:18. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You're a part of a body. Every one of us. Get committed. Oh, I'm committed to Jesus. Well, how about his church? Get committed to the church. Do something. Praise God. If it's wrong, we'll help you get it straight. Amen. But do something. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. We are a body. Every member is important. And guess what? When you're not here, when you're off somewhere else, and you're not in the local church where you belong, guess what? The church is suffering. I don't like preaching. I don't care if you like it or not. Don't bother me a bit. I'm just preaching truth. Truth is truth. Some preachers are afraid to preach truth. They're afraid they'll offend somebody. I'm not offending anybody. I'm just telling you the truth of the Word of God. I'm tired of spineless people. I am. I want somebody that's got some real tenacity that will stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm not mad about it. I'm glad about it. Hallelujah. But, you know, I'm a United States Marine. Let me tell you something. I know about battle. And that battle I fought is nothing like the battle I'm fighting right now for eternal souls. And I want somebody I can count on. I want somebody that's got my back. I want somebody to do their part. And I don't want to be pulling my part and their part and everybody else's part. We're a body. And every part needs to function together. It's time for the church to arise and shine. It's time for the church to accept spiritual authority, spiritual responsibility, and dominion as God has called us to walk. See, as the body of Christ moves together, nothing can stand in its way. It has to move together. We can change anything we want to change if we can just get together. Jesus said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not even prevail against it. My right hand and my left hand, they don't have any problem getting along. My 2 feet don't have a problem getting along. My eyes and my ears, none of those parts have a problem functioning together. Why? They're connected to my head. And if the church is connected to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and if they love God and if they love one another, then they will understand the tremendous responsibility that they have. And everybody's important. Sometimes, you know, it would be all right with me if all I was a doorkeeper. I promise you I'd be the best doorkeeper you ever seen. Welcome to Westmoreland. We are a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. I've been praying for you. Let me show you around. And I would just give them the grand tour. I would make sure they felt at home. And I would say, praise God, I don't have to spend hour upon hour upon hour putting a sermon together. My assignment is to keep the door. Hallelujah. But you know, I love the word. I don't mind putting a sermon together. My wife asked me, she said, why do you spend all that time, Jerry? You know all that stuff. I said, because this is for me. And I'll have it in a form I can give it out to people. Hallelujah. See, we can change the world if we want to. If you want personal victory, stay with the body. Get involved in the church. And you'll walk in dominion. We minister to one another. Pentecostal preaching and Pentecostal power is when the pew and the pulpit starts flowing together. You pull the preach out of me and I pull the praise out of you. Hallelujah. That's the way it works. I think, you know, our music's getting so much better all the time. And I had guests here Sunday, and they told me, said, man, I enjoyed that. Text me. Said, we will be back. And then I got a call. Somebody said, my aunt so-and-so called, and she wants a copy of that sermon. She said if she had known the preaching was going to be that good, she would have come out to that service. Somebody called and said, well, we going to church. Well, I'm going to stay at home and watch it on live stream. She's probably watching right now. We love you. Come on out. Hallelujah. I know they're committed to their church. They got a great church. But, you know, sometimes if they're not having church, they go where the river's flowing. Amen. Come on out and be with us. We love the whole body. Amen. Look at Ephesians 2 and 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. I was talking about the parts of the body. He has quickened us, made us alive together. And look at verse 6. Has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. If you're not here, how can you sit in heavenly places with us? You can't. People say, I'll be there in my spirit. I say, I'd appreciate it a whole lot more if you come in your body. It's the truth. Amen. Yeah. Now, Paul couldn't get to places. He was in prison. He said, my spirit's there. But when you can get there, praise God, he's the one that wrote, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some men as we see the day approaching. Amen. So we've been quickened together, made alive together with Christ. We've been raised up together. And we've been made to sit together in heavenly places. We are to sit together in spiritual places in Christ. I wrote this down. The most important thing in your life is not your pocketbook, your hobbies, or your happiness. The most important thing in your life is your relationship with Jesus Christ. The most important thing is your holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness. And then with the body of Christ. That is so important. It's more important to be with the body of Christ than it is to be with the world out there. Now you can witness and you can do all of that. But when you start going to their events and those events start taking priority on the Lord's day when you should be in church, you're in trouble. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've said it myself. I said if I was the world's greatest athlete, if they had an event on Sunday, I would say, I'm sorry, I will not be there. You can have it on Saturday and I'll come play. If somebody else wants to walk off with the trophy, I'll just walk with God. I just made a decision. I'm going to walk with God. And people say, why are you so adamant about that? Do you have to be a fanatic? Well, Brother Bud's sitting back there, 88 years of age, and he gave a testimony one day. He said, I have never played golf on Sunday. He said, I'm 80. He was 80-some. He said, guess what? He said, God has given me a lot more Sundays to play golf. And, you know, he's one of the few men that can, his golf score is less than his age, even now. But God has given, he made it up to him. He was preaching seed time, harvest time. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And I tell you one thing, when you get sick, you better make sure that you everything is right with God. Because you're going to have a battle to fight. There's a real devil, and you got to know it. I hate the devil. Number four, identify your enemy. As easy as this may seem, this is where so many people miss it. Because when we fail to identify the real enemy, you can never walk in dominion. Until you recognize your source of strength is God and your enemy is the devil, you will never walk in dominion. If you don't know your enemy, you cannot defeat him. Now, I learned that in combat. Your enemy is not your wife, it's not your husband, it's not your children, it's not your employer, it's not anybody in the church. Your enemy is the devil. Look at John 10:10. The thief, that's the devil, coming not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Look up 1 Peter 5:8, Brother Blue, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You have a real enemy. You're not wrestling flesh and blood. Suit up. Put on the whole armor. Hallelujah. I know this, you know, some people, they say, well, I've heard all that. Well, are you walking in dominion? Are you? That's the key. I mean, who cares? I don't care a whole lot about preaching a great sermon anymore. All I want to do is get the word of God into people. Because if I can get the word in there, then you can preach great sermons. You can tell people. You can set the captive free. Amen. So take dominion over the devil with the weapons of faith, with the weapon of the word, with the blood. And once you do that, then you can start walking in dominion. Number five, know the weaknesses of your enemy. See, the devil has a limited position. He is not all powerful. When God says stop, he has to stop. And guess what? When you say stop, he has to stop. You have been given authority to do that. You have dominion. The devil is limited. He was completely defeated by Jesus, and he can't do anything about it. Jesus stripped him, made a show of him openly. And any true believer, he has dominion, and he can resist the devil in the name of Jesus, and the devil must submit. I've never tried to cast a demon out of somebody that wanted to be free that I couldn't cast the devil out of him. Never. Don't ever expect to have that problem. I had a man tell me one day, he said, I just don't want to fight. That's not my ministry. I mean, this is a man that was seasoned, a seasoned Christian. I was sitting at a table down at our headquarters, and somebody started around the table, and they were asking about, have you ever cast the devil out? I said, I hope they don't ask me. They went on around the table, and finally got over there and said, how about you, Jerry? I said, I've never been afraid of the devil from the time I found out who I am in Christ. I said, I push him around anytime I want to. I said, I'm not afraid to cast out the devil, to go anywhere where the devil is. If I thought he was behind the door, you heard me say it, I'd kick it down to see if he was there. And I just got up and walked away from the table. I knew they couldn't accept me. They can't accept that. They cannot accept a person like religion. Cannot accept that. So if you want to be an oddball, get full of God and start walking in dominion, and then people, they'll think you peculiar. Amen. But remind the devil of your position in Jesus. Remind him of the authority that you have. Remind him that you have power over him and that he has no power over you. It'll make you feel good to start talking like that, I promise you. See, he already knows. He already understands that he doesn't have authority over you. He just does not want you to know it. But see, once you know, and he knows you know, he knows he's got to go. It's just that simple. Somebody told me about, you know, today, said, this child said, they got a temper. I said, well, when I come up, I'll cast it out. I will. I guarantee you I will. I'm not going to have some little child like that. I'll cast that thing out of them. Hallelujah. I mean, that's not being mean. That's just standing on the word of God. I mean, we need some people like that to say, I'm going to walk in dominion. I'm not going to let the devil, you know, lord it over me. So look at Luke 10:19. If you don't know that script, you need to memorize it. Behold, stop, look, listen, meditate on. I give unto you power, authority, to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you don't have to call the preacher. You just call on the name of Jesus. Say, devil, go. In Jesus' name. Get full of the power. Get full of the word of God. It is written. The devil understands that real good. That's all you got to say. It is written. Number six, stay battle ready at all times. See, this stuff has a lot to do with military strategies. I'm a military man. We have an enemy. His key strategy is to keep the Christian away from the place of authority. He does not want you to understand who you are in Christ. He wants you to think that he's got so much power over you. He does not. You have authority over him, and you have power over him. Study that handout I gave you. Be aware of this. Give no place to sin. Give no place to the devil. Keep everything under the blood of Jesus. If you're going to walk in dominion, you've got to do that. You've got to know that too. Amen. Look at James 4:7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. Suit up. Put on the whole armor. Just make it a decision. I am going to walk in dominion. If the Bible says do it, praise God, I'm going to do it. Everything I look back, every time I look back, that Sister Rodney, I think about, I found that thing, the old oak tree. And I was going through something, and she sent me a little poem about the oak tree. Here I stand. Hallelujah. Still standing like that oak tree. Amen. But suit up. Put on the whole armor. See, if Satan can vex you with other people, in other words, if he can tick you off, if he can get you aggravated toward other people, if he can get you irritated, you won't be able to cast devils out. Faith works by love. And he knows all of that. And so he does everything he can to rub you wrong. And you've just got to make allowances to people. If he can keep you angry with somebody, then you cannot heal the sick. Faith works by love. If he can get you depressed, then you cannot be effective in God's kingdom. I cannot tell you the people that in my life, they say, where did you get all that joy? Why is it you're always so happy? Well, it's because of Jesus, not because of me. Why is it every time you're always the same? And if I walk in, they say, why aren't you singing today? I said, I'm singing. You just can't hear it. I'm singing in my heart. But they know. You can walk in that. I'm not saying you're exempt from the problems of life. The problems are real, but the word of God is real, and dominion is real. And if you're going to walk in dominion, and if you're going to master all of life, you will have to make these decisions right here. So recognize your enemies. Stay battle ready at all times. The devil does not want you to be battle ready. He wants you confused. Center yourself in Christ. Center your whole life in Christ. And say, Lord, I thank you for the anointing. I thank you, Lord, that I'm a child of God. I thank you, Lord, for the things you've done for me. And I thank you that I'm a victorious Christian. Your faith will never rise above what comes out of your mouth. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you're poor, guess what? You're going to be poor. If you think you can do all things, and it is God which gives thee power to get well. All right, God. Hallelujah. I'm going to just sow my seed. Seed time harvest. I might not have it all today, but I'll pick up a dollar here. I'll pick up another dollar there. I'll pick up another dollar there. And pretty soon I'm loaded down. Hallelujah. That's the way it works. Just grow your life. Grow it. Grow in grace and knowledge. Grow in God. Stay battle ready at all times. Say, Lord, I'm ready to win souls. So I thank you for leading me today and giving me divine direction. Number seven, I like this one. Rejoice in victory. Rejoice in the victories that God has already given you. You're going to have problems. Everybody's going to have something to face. But didn't he save you? Didn't he write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Didn't he deliver you from those bondages? Didn't he fill you with the Holy Ghost? Hasn't he come in the midnight hour? Hasn't he always spread a table for you? Hasn't he given you joy unspeakable that's full of glory? Well, you know, sometimes you're just going to have, I call it a blue Monday. Most preachers want to quit on Mondays. They do. I've never had a Monday like that, that I just wanted to quit. Now, I will tell my wife sometime on Sunday night, don't talk to me anymore about church and church people. Don't talk to me about it. I don't even want to hear it. I'll talk to you tomorrow. But, you know, I said, if you want to talk to me about Jesus, we'll talk about Jesus. But I don't want to hear anything about the church and all their problems anymore. I'm through for today. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to make a decision. But rejoice in the victory you have. Oh, I say it like this. I don't want to hear that story, but what a great service. Wasn't the music good? Wasn't the song? Didn't we worship God? Didn't we have a good time? Did you enjoy that part? Did you see so-and-so that got blessed? That's what I'm going to focus on. I am going to walk in dominion. And if nobody else wants to walk there, I've still made a choice. I'm going to do it in Jesus' name, by the help and grace of God. So remember this. Look at Matthew 18:18. I'm going to close. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by the Father which is in heaven. All of this means something to walking in dominion. That you have been given the name of Jesus and you have authority. You have kratos, dominion. You have, look at that hand, the first one. Behold, I give unto you power, dunamis. That, in your hand, Ephesians 1, the power. Let me find that hand out. I want you to see that. Some of you didn't get one of this. I give you one to take home with you. But he talks about three types of power there. The first word power there in verse 19 is dunamis. It's miraculous power. The second power there is mighty power, which is kratos. That is dominion. And the last word power in verse 21, it is exousia, which is authority. So you have three levels. You know, you have the miraculous power of God. You have the mighty kratos dominion. And then you have authority. It's yours. And you can walk there. And you can walk in dominion. Pastor Ricky. See, the devil is subject to the believer. He can't do a thing about it. The devil is subject to your rights. You have a bill of rights. He can't do a thing about your rights. He is subject to the words that a believer speaks. He can't do anything about it. The devil will resist you, but when a true believer says go, he has no choice but to go. And he knows that. See, as a believer, we are to live in personal dominion. Ours is a life of victory. And the Bible tells us that everything that God has, it belongs to us. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're not losers, church. We are winners. And you are what God said you are. You can do what God says you can do. And you have what God says you have. But I promise you this, it is a fight. And you will have to fight the good fight of faith. But you can walk in dominion. I choose to live a life of dominion. Let us stand.
There is power.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. There is power. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus. break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
Hallelujah.